Hi, this is Mitch Mitchell of the Jimi Hendrix Experience, in the studio with Redbeard.
Thanks again, Mitch. Abruptly, amidst all the returning heroic adulation that was being heaped on Jimi Hendrix in America upon the release of Electric Ladyland 35 winters ago, the album certainly wasn't conceived in a vacuum. On balance, 1968 was probably the worst year in American history since World War II. Overall, dare I say, worse than the year 1963 when President Kennedy was torn from our midst. Mitch Mitchell saw a marked difference when 25-year-old James M. Hendrix, a black American, led his all-white band into the segregated South in 1968, and then up to the Democratic National Convention in Chicago.
And we went down south to like Jacksonville, and we hit Florida, but we hit some other, Jacksonville comes to mind. And I remember it was like, restaurants. There were a couple of places where Jimmy was very, shall we say, cautious about going into. Obviously, he'd had rough times before on the road. And it was, dare I say, the vibe. It was kind of difficult getting food some places. But the feeling was that, the white freaks weren't particularly welcome either. That was the major thing. On the Martin Luther King, on the civil rights issue, wasn't until we were on the road, and I do recall there were riots going on in Detroit, and we go just to get from the hotel to the car, to the limo. You go through the revolving doors, and it was like, be careful, it was a bit of sniper fire. But the worst was no doubt when Martin Luther King was assassinated. I believe that night we were playing in Newark, New Jersey. We were based in New York, so we drove over, and the riots were, just taking really, really hold. I mean, you could see burning buildings. And as we're driving to the gig wasn't cancelled. Two shows booked for that night, and there were tanks on the corners of the streets, and a civil war, civil armed guard, National Guard, that's what I was searching for, thank you. And there were actually some people there for the first show, but they cancelled the second one. It was highly, highly dangerous. We got hit on by so many people, be it from Scientologists to, you name any kind of sect, cult, apart from beyond organized religions. We were very open. There were always people trying to get to the band or Jimmy to pass the message on. And some people, Jimmy was well aware of where he came from and what he was about as a man. And on a racial side, Jimmy and I had spoken of it, a few times, because he had the American Indian blood as well. Is the basic thing was that it wasn't that he didn't want to know or wasn't aware of what was going on, far from it, because it's mentioned in a few of the songs about the riots, house burning down, the rest of it. But it was really like, let me get on at that particular time, let me get on with the music. It's usually people hitting on him or us for financial contributions, and the music came first beyond the politic. But sometimes that could get in the way. There were too many people hitting on for various causes. I mean, the cause was was freedom for everyone. I mean, we saw so much in those early days on the road. I mean, I look back to, we were playing in Chicago when those riots were going on in the park right opposite the hotel. I mean, all those kids getting their heads beaten open. It was just, just disgusting.
Thank you. black smoke coming from? He just coughed and changed the subject and said, all right, I think it might snow some. So I left him sipping his tea, and I jumped in my chair and rode off to see just why and who could it be this time. Sisters and brothers, daddy's mother standing around crying. When I reached the scene, the flames were making a ghostly whine. So I stood on my horse's back, and I screamed without a breath. I say, oh baby, why did you burn your brother's house down? So we paint red through the sky. I say the truth is straight ahead, so don't burn yourself instead. Try to learn instead of burn, hear what I say. So I burned and rolled away, but I'll never forget that day. Cause when I reach the valley, I look way down across the way. A dying boat from space landed with eerie grace and came and taken all the dead away.
Alarmed by the race riots in Watts, Detroit, Hough, Murray Hill, and hundreds of other U.S. cities in 1968 after the assassination of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., that's the Jimi Hendrix Experience with the song House Burning Down from the album Electric Ladyland. Again, Hendrix biographer John McDermott.
Well, I think in terms of the context of the album's creation, it's obviously taking place the height of the civil rights movement in the United States. I think it's one that Jimi Hendrix had a role and a part in. I think as his fame and profile heightened, people saw him as a leader. And as somebody who, working with this kind of interracial, intercontinental band, the Experience, stood for freedom and equality and achievement and opportunity. One of the ironies of Hendrix is that, you know, he didn't just arrive on the planet, with Hey Joe. I mean, you're talking about an artist who had faced the kind of racial hostility and tension, having served as an R&B sideman for acts like Little Richard, Ike and Tina Turner, and other people. You're also talking about someone who had served as a paratrooper in the U.S. military. Again, it's indicative of Hendrix in that, you know, he was not overtly political in his music, but yet if you listen to what he was trying to express in the song House Burning Down, You know, he's talking about, this concept of tearing down, your neighborhood and your people and, as a part of this struggle. And I think, obviously, later songs like Machine Gun, looked at man's inhumanity against man as opposed to trying to take a side in the Vietnam situation, because here was somebody who had served in the military and could understand the circumstances in which, there were soldiers fighting in Vietnam. And I think it was, he was somebody who had a more universal look, if not just on race, but on a host of issues, and who felt that his music was an instrument that was not just flavor of the moment pop music, but he really truly felt that it was something that he wanted to get inside of people, to make them think, to make them listen. On more than one occasion in interviews, he would often say he's trying to get his music inside of you, to feel really what he's trying to say. And I think that's a real change from any of the predecessors that he not only played with but admired, from Motown to Muddy Waters. There was never this kind of explanation or intent for music. But Hendrix was a true believer in that, what he was doing was very serious, meant a great deal to him, certainly was influenced and affected by all of the events that were happening around him. And he viewed music as a way to reach young people and to help them get through and to find solutions. So I think he took it very, very seriously, but I don't think it's something where you can pin him down per se. I think he saw the unique complications of life, not only in the road that he had traveled, but in the music that he was making. That to get that across, to make an impact on people, I think it's impossible not to recognize, the very interesting and very difficult road that he traveled from, Seattle to Nashville to Harlem to London and back to the United States. Hendrix was somebody who really was not tied down by the restrictions of the day. He didn't worry about, whether this was a good career move or whether this would be a good single. He said something that I thought was fascinating in that he didn't care what it cost or the length of time that it took, because as he said, he made money so that he would be able to create better things. And I think that Electric Ladyland is the first example of him taking the reins of his career, taking the benefits of his stardom, and reinvesting it, if you will, back into his own music. I think if you look at the contemporaries during that period, the Beatles were doing what they wanted to do and were doing these kinds of things. But, they had a great deal of success. Here was Hendrix in his third record, just saying, look, whatever, I want to make the kind of record that I want to make. I know I've had success with the first two records, but I really want to encompass blues and sound paintings and even elements of jazz into what I'm doing. And I think that that's, again, one of the reasons why it's had such an enduring run in terms of popularity, is because all of those various elements strike people in different ways. It has lasted so long because of the quality of the song and the craftsmanship that's so apparent to even, a first-time listener, that this really is special and different. And I think that's why it's so exciting. It's why it continues to be such a successful kind of touchstone recording for both artists and fans, is that it's so apparent right from the go that this is a handmade, handcrafted, really wonderful work that encompasses a whole host of things that artists today are afraid to travel down roads. We'll be right back.
I'll get right back to you one of these days.
Final Jimi Hendrix Experience album, Electric Ladyland. That's Voodoo Child, Slight Return. I'm Redbeard. I'll return, however slight, in the studio after this.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news. You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows, and my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't doing enough. I still had flakes, and my scalp felt dry and itchy. So I switched to Celsin Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers.
Doctor-recommended Celsin Blue as a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff, plus it keeps hair and scalp healthy and itch-free.
If your dandruff shampoo can't handle black, do what I did. Switch to Celsin Blue Moisturizing Shampoo.
Never wear black without the blue. Celsin Blue. Use as directed.
The Goodyear Stockroom Clearance Tire Sale is going on right now. Our stockroom just can't hold any more tires, so we're clearing out a wide selection of popular Goodyear passenger, performance, and light truck tires. Plus, when you buy four selected Goodyear tires, you'll get up to a $50 cash card. But hurry, the Goodyear Stockroom Clearance Tire Sale and $50 cash card offer both end January 17th. Don't let these great deals pass you by. For complete details, call 1-800-GOODYEAR or visit any participating Goodyear retailer.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nighty?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.